Recording from my living room in beautiful Marietta, Georgia, you are listening to the Think Inclusive Podcast, Episode 3. I'm your host, Tim Villegas. Today I will be speaking with Marvin, Sharon, and Dana Fialco, authors of the Starabella book series. Starabella is a new series of books about a very courageous little girl with learning differences who expresses her thoughts and feelings through music. The books are based on the real-life experiences of Marvin and Sharon's daughter, Tara, who exhibited a surprising musical talent when she was very young, but would later present perplexing challenges. Not able at the time to get a diagnosis, they were left with a mystery. Tara would not be diagnosed with autism until she turned 21. Tara, now an adult, went on to earn a degree in early childhood education. The Fialcos and I discuss what it was like to observe Tara's amazing musical talent and how she developed her voice through melodies and lyrics. Dana Fialco, Tara's younger sister, describes what it was like growing up with Tara and what she has learned from having a sibling who was not like everyone else. All of this and more on the Think Inclusive Podcast. Thanks for listening. Okay, I would like to welcome Marvin, Sharon, and Dana Fialco, authors of the Starabella book series, to the Think Inclusive Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me and having a conversation.
Thank you so much for inviting us. We're thrilled to be here, and we admire so much about, you know, the work you do to spread awareness of the benefits of inclusion.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. I invited you on because I wanted you to talk to our listeners about what just a special thing you have with the Starabella series. And so to get us started, I wanted to know, how did you first get the idea about creating a book series called Starabella?
Okay, first of all, my daughter Dana made up the name Starabella when she was around 3 years old. It happens to have my daughter Tara's name right in the middle of it, so I feel that this was something that was just meant to happen before we even were aware that it was going to happen. So, and my purpose for writing the Starabella series is I wanted to bring my daughter Tara's dream of a bright new world of friendliness and acceptance to other children. I want children to feel safe and welcome, to share what is special inside them, to enhance their classroom environments. My daughter Tara, who's now an adult, is a self-taught pianist and composer who deals with the challenges of autism. She was often teased and picked on in school and suffered consequential isolation. She came home to her beloved piano and wrote magical, touching melodies and lyrics about a far more accepting world than the one she had to face each day. One of her songs, Welcome to a Bright New World, became the inspiration. In this musical world, children play and get along and are accepted for exactly who they are. Tara went on to earn a certificate in early childhood education. I was her study buddy. Based on what we learned together, I wrote interactive shows for children incorporating Tara's music. Tara and I made props and scenery, and Tara performed these shows in many preschools, kindergartens, day programs, and after-school programs. My daughter Dana often accompanied Tara when she was home on college breaks. The Starabella stories arose from my observations of the social challenges faced by the children in these schools and programs. The Starabella stories combine Tara's experiences with those of other children. Some of the words and the characters in Book 3 featuring Starabella at school are the actual words of these children.
So what was, thank you for that description. I'm curious as to how Dana's and Tara's relationship, how was that as far as, you know, you starting to perform? And also, Dana, how did you feel about Tara and her musical ability and kind of seeing her as she grew as a person?
Okay, well, Tara and I we're fortunate in that we were both very musical as children, and that enabled us to have a very special bond through our music. And it's funny even hearing the question how I responded to her music and how we started, because I feel like being the younger sister, I was born into a world of Tara's music in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's something that as children, we just developed a natural rapport that way because I always loved to sing and Tara played the piano as her lifeblood. So I grew up in a house that was always filled with magical music. And because Tara was my older sister, when I was really little, she would teach me her songs. She did write these magical lyrics about going to a bright new world, and we loved to make recordings together. We'd sit with a cassette tape player, dating myself, but and we would make up our own radio shows. And at that point in her life, Tara loved to tell stories. She would and loved to share her music. So, and I was the one who was there. So whether I liked it or not, I was going to be performing her music. And luckily I did like it. So that was the way that we really grew up. So it wasn't something that I could say was a choice. We just fell into it. And as we, yes?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, as we became a little bit older, then we start performing in a more formal way. We had a regular gig on Friday nights at a local shopping center, and Tara would play her keyboard, and I would sing, and we would make up these performances. And when Tara was 13, her music was maturing, and she started writing songs that sounded a little bit more like they had popular music potential, and I mean, meaning more adult-type songs. And when I was around 13, I had the idea to start writing lyrics to her music. At that point, she no longer wrote her own lyrics, and I thought we would start creating hits together and writing songs. And that's when one of our songs, A New Beginning, was born. I woke up one morning with the lyrics in my head to that song that she had named A New Beginning, and we started a collaboration with songwriters at that point.
That's amazing. I'm also a musician, so I understand. I understand the kind of the process of sometimes things just come to you and you don't even really. It's not even on purpose, but it just happens. So I can definitely see that you know, the way that you're talking about music and the way that you're talking about your relationship with Tara. It just seemed like it seems like that music just really came out of you, and it was something that was already in your family, so it just sprung out of who you were and who you both were. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And very much like the character of Starabella, Tara really did use music to express her feelings. She didn't always know how to express her feelings verbally. So that was a way that she communicated with all of us and how we all could know what she was feeling. And I think one thing that unfortunately Tara was exposed to as a child was a lot of cruelty from other children, which what my mom was talking about was part of her inspiration to write this series. And as a young child, I was, of course, witness to that. And again, being a little younger, I didn't always understand it. But one thing that Tara always infused her songs with was this sense of hope. Mm-hmm. And writing a song like Welcome to a Bright New World or I Can Fly in a Dream Full of Happiness, it was really her dream of another world. So in addition to the music that was always filling my world, I always had this voice of inspiration, I guess, and this sense of hope. Mm-hmm. I think we were a very hopeful family in general. And having, you know, at the time when we were growing up, Tara didn't yet have a diagnosis, which was more common back then. But so there was one thing that was very inspirational to me as a child was that my parents never expected any less of Tara than what she could do, and were always motivating her and pushing her to do her very best. And I grew up with that sense of everyone having the not only the potential but really the obligation to do their best, and that's the way Tara was brought up and that I was brought up, and that helped motivate me as well.
Now, Marvin and Sharon, are you both musically oriented?
No, not at all. But Marvin has relatives who are musical on his side, but none of them are composers. So Tara's side. What you said about music just coming forth without thinking about it, We moved from our home in St. Louis to Honolulu, Hawaii, and my mom said my piano, that I never played well at all, I have no musical talent, home in Hawaii, and Tara took to it as if it was a part of her. She started banging on the keys, making noise, driving us berserk, and then suddenly, but we didn't know, she was discovering the sounds that the keys made, and then all of a sudden, we heard the miracle of melodies. She started to play all of her childhood songs, songs she heard on the radio, songs that she heard on CD. She even played music that she heard in the dentist's office. She once we went to a museum that was showing a Chinese film, and she came home and played the whole soundtrack to that music, and she said, "Do you remember that?" So it was very much of a miracle that she was able to play music by ear, and then shortly after, she started to compose her own music.
Mm-hmm. What
instrument do you play?
I play the piano, bass, and guitar.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I learned piano first around 4 or 5 years old. My parents enrolled me in classes at the piano studio, and I continued lessons through high school, and then that's when I got into rock and roll. So did Tara ever have any formal training in piano?
Yes, she's had many years of formal training, but her ear, playing by ear, was always surpassed what she did as far as reading notes. She has her own special style that's really quite beautiful and inspirational. And all of her music isn't just inspirational. She wrote music as a child about the wonders of nature, her feelings, and childhood interests like her cat and the circus. So her music really reflected the world around her as well as her inner feelings. And in the Starbella books, our heroine, Starbella, like Tara's little girl with learning differences, who expresses her feeling best through music. And the stories of Starbella follow her through three phases of her early growing up. Book one features Starbella at home. Book two features Starbella in the community. And children following Starbella and learning about her challenges and rooting for her to reach her goals, they form empathy for her character, so they care what happens to her when she becomes a member of a diverse, inclusive kindergarten classroom in book three.
That was actually my experience with my daughter. She is 6 years old, and when we read book three together, she was very interested in what was going to happen next. So I don't know if there's any plans for any further book series, but she was very interested in, if there was going to be a continuing of the story.
Well, your question makes me very happy, because I'm always very excited to hear the response of children who do not have special needs to the Starbella character. It seems that from the response we're getting, it's that children form a great affection for the character, which is what I was hoping for. And we do want to take Starbella further. I would like to write a cookbook that shows the Bright New World children in Starbella's class preparing a multicultural luau for Starbella's birthday, and introducing entertainment from their backgrounds, from their cultural backgrounds, and also food from these backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, my goal is to have Starbella be discovered when she's performing as a rock star, mm-hmm. and actually traveling around the world with her musical messages of friendship and acceptance as a global ambassador of friendship. And so we do hope to take Starbella further. But our main goal now is to bring Starbella and her messages to children.
To
children.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm interested, or actually I should mention to the people that are listening, is that Starabella, the book series, book 1, 2, and 3, they're not your typical storybook. In fact, when you open up the book, there are words for you to read, but it's really meant to be read in conjunction with the CD. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. The stories all contain an audio CD, and they're fully narrated by Dana, and the music is performed by Tara, and Dana sings most of the songs. As a matter of fact, Dana performs 13 voices of the various characters. And the focus of the book is really on the audio, but the stories come to life through colorful, kid-appealing art done by a wonderful illustrator named Anton Petrov, whom I worked with. He lives in New Zealand, and we collaborated over the internet to get the artwork done for the book.
Yes, the artwork is beautiful, and the narration and the music are all very striking and very engaging. And like I said, when I did the book review of the series, I didn't really want to, I didn't want to skew what I thought of the book without having actually given it to my daughter and my kids to read, because I knew this was going to be for children. So I experienced it with them and was very, pleased that they enjoyed the book so much. And were so engaged with the book right from the get-go. I remember growing up listening to books on tape, and so I would have my little, to actually not even books on tape. I had a record player, and so I had the Disney books, like the Robin Hood, or I had Snow White or Pinocchio, and then I would have my record player, and then I'd put the record on, and I have my book. And they would play lines from the movie and the music from the movie, and it would be this whole experience. And that is exactly what it reminded me of when we opened this up. It was just this engaging experience where you had the music, you had the narration, you had the pictures, and then you just kind of followed along, and it was this whole experience. So that's the one thing, if you're listening and you want to know about the book and what it's like, that is how I would describe it. It's much more of an experience as opposed to something you read before bed. You know what I mean? It's like an event.
So we so much appreciate, you're telling your listeners that. And one other aspect of this Starabella stories is book 3 is interactive. Children listening and reading help children in Starabella's class get to the bright new world of Starabella's dream, where children play and get along and are accepted for exactly who they are. By using a magical mirror in the back of the book, they're able to look in the mirror to see their expressions, and if they see that their eyes are shining like stars, like Starabella's, they made the friendliest social choice to help solve some of the social dilemmas in the classroom. They send their friendly thoughts to the kids to help them get to the bright new world. I didn't mention that in book 3, Starabella starts off her day with great enthusiasm, but soon she's bullied and feels she doesn't belong, and she goes under a table and looks out and observes the social dilemmas of other children. We have one little boy in the book named Jeremy whose features are completely covered up to open a discussion about differences so children can express what they think might be different about Jeremy, and often they say things that are very personal. When we perform these stories for children with visual challenges, some of the kids said, well, maybe he wore thick glasses. We've heard somebody else say, well, maybe he has freckles, or somebody else say that he has, maybe it's his voice. So they're able to express some of their own feelings through that character. And we have separate scenarios. Like I said, they're these scenes are actual incidents that I observed in the schools where Tara performed the stories, and the words of the children are their actual words. And I was wondering, since Marvin is here and he hasn't said anything yet,
go ahead.
If you know, if he'd like to add something, if that's all right.
Well, I think the exciting things about these books are that not only do they have wonderful messages, but they're very entertaining, and children have responded so well to the music, to the art, and importantly to the messages, and they tend to appeal to all children, children who are typical or children who have difficulties of any sort. They're really universal books, and I think these types of messages are very important in this day and age, when it's very important that, that children understand other children with differences or from different backgrounds, because in the world we live in, that's the kind of community that they're going to be involved in. So I think if they learn at an early age to be empathetic to one another, hopefully by the time they become adults, we're going to have a much better world than we have right now. So it was my pleasure always to support my wife and my daughters in this undertaking.
That's wonderful that you're able to support them in this endeavor. It is definitely a wonderful resource for families. I wanted to talk a little bit more about how it was when Tara first started school. I know that in book three, Starabella went directly into a typical classroom. Was that how Tara, was that her first experience in education, or how did that come about, or what was her experience like?
Well, you know, Tara didn't get her diagnosis till she was in her early 20s. That's why we called the first book of Starabella Mystery Girl of Music, because Tara had tremendous abilities, but then she also had some behaviors that were hard to understand without a diagnosis. And she also had talent that seemed to come from someplace, too, that we didn't understand. And so we said that she's a girl of mystery for many reasons. But Tara's problems in school did not exhibit themselves so much academically as they did socially. Mm-hmm. With a lot of determination and work at home and tutoring, Tara was able to go to school and make good grades, but her social communication was lacking. And the way, you know, and it, those days there was no enhancement or accommodation for her needs, her learning needs, and ways to help her socialize. So she was in the regular classrooms, and when I first went to observe Tara starting in preschool, where I found her really was under a table. Mm-hmm. And by this, you know, is put into the books. And I've exhibited the books many, you know, at many autism conferences. And when parents see that picture of Starabella under the table, they often actually cry and say, that's my son. Yeah. Or that's my daughter. That's where I found them. So our problems were mostly based on social issues. And I was always in schools advocating for her rights to be treated fairly and justly. And that was one of the things that motivated me to write these stories to change that situation, to sensitize teachers to knowing that it is their responsibility to help children and also stand up for them if they are being mistreated, that it is part of the school responsibility. Back then, you know, we were told children will be children. If we help your daughter, she'll never learn how to take care of herself. So, you know, things have evolved from that point, and teachers, their responsibility to accommodate styles of learning and to try to introduce programs to stop bullying.
Yeah, there is a sense from certain educators, and it is kind of an old school way of thinking, that there's certain behaviors or certain things that children do, and if we, I guess, let them behave a certain way, or if we let them think a certain way, that we're just letting them get away with things, you know? And get away with that type of behavior, as opposed to really supporting them in who they are, in their strengths. And so I'm seeing a shift in that kind of thinking, but I think that it is kind of either a generational thing, or it's just how many years you've been teaching. It's just a different, it's kind of an old school way of thinking about learning differences. And so in saying that, I wanted to ask Dana. Now, Dana and Tara went to school together at some point, I'm assuming?
At certain points. We had times when we were in the same school, and then later on we were in different schools.
So I wanted to know if you, when you did go to school and you were able to kind of to see Tara from afar in the same school environment, did you feel like they treated Tara differently than you did, or did they feel did educators or administrators try to treat Tara a certain way or the same way as you, or did you see a difference?
Well, I guess I can't really say that I observed her educators with her too much, because we were a couple years apart in school and she was older. So I didn't, I was at the point where we were in school together, we were younger, elementary school age. So I don't think I had enough awareness to really be able to discern that. I did witness her being picked on sometimes. I feel that most of what I heard about her experience is, though, we're hearing them from her or from my parents rather than actually observing them, because we weren't together in the same classroom or in the same recesses because of the difference in our ages.
Right.
So, but I did, there were certainly times when we would play together with kids in the neighborhood, and I, of course, noticed times when she would be treated differently.
Uh-huh. Now, how, I noticed that you wrote a, I think it was on the Starbella blog, on your website, how you described autism for, was it a group of elementary school kids? Is that correct?
No, it was actually my boyfriend's mother asked me if I could explain autism to her granddaughter, to my boyfriend's niece.
And this is
how I explained it to her, the article that's on there, and I'm happy to see how popular it became with people, that they responded to it and liked what I had to say. It was very much something that came from the heart for me, based on my experiences with Tara. And I do think being a sister, we had a connection that a lot of people don't get to have. I mean, I feel that we really have always gotten each other in a way, and I can see how she thinks, how she responds, how she processes information.
So
particularly in our work together with performing.
For those who haven't read the article, could you explain, or could you maybe summarize that explanation to our listeners?
Sure. What I said in the article was that sometimes people with autism, sometimes their brains don't process or understand information from the outside world in the same way as people without autism. And one thing that I heard a lot from Tara as we were growing up, and she would try to explain how she was responding to things or what was going on, was that the signals sometimes get confused in their minds. So because of that, sometimes they can't necessarily approach the processes, making friends or being in social conversations or group discussions the same way that everyone else does. But I wanted to emphasize how important it was to realize that what's inside, their feelings inside, and how they respond to things are the same as everyone else's. And to add a little bit, I always knew that there was a certain pathway that had to be taken from the outside world into Tara's brain to understand information, and once it got in there, she understood it very well and could retain it for a long time. I saw my mom teaching her through the years, being her study buddy, working with her, and seeing how I would say my mom had a real gift for being intuitive enough to understand how that information needed to be translated to Tara so she could really understand it and go to school and pass her test. One thing that of course I noticed being a sibling was how Tara would respond to noises or bright lights. The scene from Starabella when Starabella's in the circus, that came pretty directly from experiences we had with Tara, where all of a sudden the lights would be bright and there would be noises. And often either children or adults will see a child with autism or an adult with autism screaming or reacting negatively to some sort of stimulation that for those without autism wouldn't really bother them. I wanted to make sure that children would understand that this response is coming from fear or real pain they're feeling, and that's why they're behaving that way. Then, of course, some people like Tara have great talents, like music. There are people who have talents in art or painting or math or science or any variety of things. And one thing that we all need to be able to recognize and appreciate are those talents, and knowing that sometimes what makes someone different, as we would call it, also makes them very special, or sometimes it can be unrelated, but that everybody has something to offer, just like what we say in Starabella. And a lot of these skills and talents have moved things forward in our world, and we don't necessarily always talk about that. Scientific discoveries by some people who saw the world in a different way, and that different doesn't necessarily mean worse than anyone else. Something that my mom was talking about and discusses a lot, and that was so important to us in these stories, is we talk a lot about trying to have to make people with autism or just anyone who doesn't necessarily conform to what society expects, trying to make them conform to train, what you were saying about training out certain behaviors ways of thinking. And what's so important is that the rest of us also have an obligation to adjust, either to adjust the way we see things, and to know that even if somebody is acting out or behaving in a way that might look unusual to us, that we can have that we can know where that's coming from and be able to see what that is and not see it as something necessarily negative or wrong or something that they need to conform, but we can be able to see what's special about that person and also just understand and do our best to connect to them. Just like they're always trying to connect with us.
Well, and you know what? Go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you. You know, you had asked me if, you know, Dana had some, you know, resentment, like siblings can often have some resentment towards their siblings with special needs because they drain so much attention from the parents. Maybe Dana could talk about some of the negatives, but then also some of the positives of having, you know, grown up with somebody with differences. Dana, would you mind?
Sure. And I mean, I guess I'll start by saying that one of the greatest gifts I've had from my experience with Tara, and I'm not even saying a sibling with autism, but with Tara as an individual, is I'm not one to not appreciate the gifts that I have and the gifts that I'm given, and both with the relationship I have with Tara and just anything that I particularly was born with. And one thing that I said earlier was the way our parents raised us was to always do our personal best. And that's something that I feel we were very lucky in our home, that we were very seldom compared to each other. It was always about both of us doing our own best. And of course, there were times as children where I didn't understand some of the things that Tara would do or her behavior when she would act out. And as a child, that's of course difficult there. And and she did require a lot of attention, particularly even as my mom was saying, my mom having to be at school to advocate for her, both my parents taking turns studying with her and my grandmother studying with her. And as a small child, there were, of course, times when I didn't understand this and thought that all of that attention maybe meant they loved her more, or maybe meant that she was more talented than I was, or prettier than I was, or smarter than I was, and that those were real reactions I had as a little girl. But I do think I always, with any of that, there's always been tremendous love between me and Tara and with our parents. So I looking at things with an adult's eyes, I mostly see the benefit, even though there are, of course, times when, you know, and there's always the occasional embarrassment. We'd be somewhere and she'd act in a way that just nobody expected, and without having a diagnosis or without having nearly the awareness of autism that we have now. Of course, when you're a child and you're expecting to fit in, that can be troubling. But I also feel that both in a negative and a positive way, I had to start thinking like an adult at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And part of that was gaining a sense of perspective. My mom was reminding me the other day that I would sometimes talk about other kids at school and what I consider trivial things that they would worry about. And while I was seeing the challenges that Tara was having, I mean, aside from whatever challenges she was having to understand things or to learn just what she was facing from other children, and unfortunately that knowledge of that type of cruelty came into my life at a very early age through her, but it also did give me a tremendous sense of perspective. I have never been one to be careless with myself, to not appreciate any gift I'm given and to see that for what it is, any ability that I have, and also to be able to fully appreciate all of the abilities and talents that Tara has. And as I've been in the workplace, being in an adult world, I think it has made me be able to relate to a wide variety of people and to empathize and to understand motivations, and to be able to really see things from other people's perspective, which is a tremendous benefit when you're in the business world and forging a career, dealing with people, handling relationships. And I think I don't think I was ever one to need to fit in as much as some new teenagers do when I was in that phase of life. And I always appreciated that myself as an individual. And I have to say that a lot of that probably came from having a sister who is such an individual. And yes. Again, that's both good and bad. There were certainly times as a child where I felt like, given that all that Tara was dealing with when I was old enough to really understand that, and how much sometimes it would drain my parents, I did tend to try to cope with things and deal with them on my own, and not always share it with them when I was going through things. And sometimes that did leave me feeling a little bit alone. And luckily, as an adult, those were things that I was able to talk to my parents about a little bit more and understand what we were all going through as a family at that time.
It sounds that your love for your sister and, you know, and Sharon and Marvin, your love for Tara is very obvious in the way that you're talking about her. And then also it comes across in the book as well. And just how special you really saw Tara, or you see Tara. It comes across. So I wanted to make sure you knew that. I know that, you know, we could talk about Tara for many, many more minutes, but I wanted to kind of wrap things up, and I wanted to ask each of you, Marvin, Sharon, and Dana, if there was one thing that you wanted the listeners to take away from our conversation, or from the book, or from whatever particular kind of a thing you wanted to make sure that they got from this conversation. So maybe we can start with Marvin.
Well, I want to first of all thank you, Tim, for giving us an opportunity to express our feelings about how we see the world, having brought up a daughter with differences. And I think probably the most important thing we can say is that if children learn these messages at an early age, which we hope these books teach about empathy and seeing the world as a world of many differences, but differences that can be understood to make it a better world, we'll all benefit. As a senior now, we can benefit from helping kids grow up to be good citizens. In any case, we want to also emphasize that these books not only teach what we think are very important messages, but are important to enjoy as an opportunity to hear great music and view beautiful art. And we think that the combination makes for very entertaining experiences with children, either alone or with caregivers. So, again, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Of course. Thanks, Marvin.
And, Tim, I'd like to quote Starbella as something to take away to show her philosophy towards inclusion. She says at the end of the series, "To all the children out there all over the world, Starry says, remember all people are special and have something to offer. When you are their friend, you make the world a better place, and you'll love yourself for loving them, and everyone's eyes will shine like stars."
That's beautiful. Thanks, Sharon. How about you, Dave?
And for me, two things. Building on what both of my parents just said, I think with the tragic level that bullying has gotten to in our world right now and various incidents that are such tragedies, I think it is so important for kids to learn to love themselves and accept themselves and to have the resources and support to have the courage to be individuals and know that that's okay. And if Starbella can help all kids, regardless, I mean, kids can become victims of bullying for any variety of reasons or no reason at all, just like our character Jeremy. And it's so important that kids have the courage to not only love themselves so they don't end up taking out that anger on someone else, but also to stand up for others and to be able to listen to that good voice inside themselves that the Starbella series always talks about.
Well, thank you very much, Dana. This conversation was wonderful. I hope that everyone got something out of it. I know that I did. And I wanted to make sure that you shared what your website was, where they could find you on Facebook or Twitter as kind of an ending piece. So where can they find you on the web, Sharon?
www.starabella.com. Starabella is spelled Starabella.
Okay, and you're on Twitter as well?
Yes, we're on Twitter under Starry Says, and we have a Facebook page too. People can look up Starabella Facebook, where we, advocate for autism awareness on that page.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank Marvin, Sharon, and Dana Fialco for coming and joining me on the Think Inclusive podcast. This was wonderful. Good luck to you and the book and everything beyond that. And hopefully we can follow up in some time and see how everyone's doing. Okay, so thank you very much, and we will see you guys later.
Thank you so much.
That concludes this edition of the Think Inclusive podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Twitter @think_inclusive or on the web at thinkinclusive.us. Today's show was produced by myself, talking into USB headphones, using a Mac Mini, GarageBand, and a Skype account. Bumper music by Jose Galvez with the song Press. You can find it on iTunes. You can also subscribe to the Think Inclusive podcast via the iTunes Music Store or podomatic.com, the largest community of independent podcasters on the planet. From Marietta, Georgia, please join us again on the Think Inclusive podcast. Thanks for your time and attention.